May God's grace and God's peace be with you, brothers and sisters. We are continuing our study this morning in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 11 this morning, following through this list of heroes that have been given to us thus far. I've entitled this message this morning, Faith Defeats Fear. Last time I was with you, I was warning us that right now the devil in this world wants to take away our hope. And my encouragement for all of you was to stand firm, to hold fast in the true hope that exists in Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, the devil continues to work. And right now, the tool that the devil is using right now the most to try and take away our hope is fear. Look around our world. Listen to the news. Listen to the people who want to be elected to the office. Listen to the people who are in office. Listen to the normal person on the street. Fear is even causing the church to be lazy and sluggish. As our author shared with us last time, that we're not supposed to be sluggish, but instead he gave us an encouragement to say, be imitators of those who through faith and through patience inherit the promises. And we have seen a list of these people to imitate in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We've seen a list of people who are our heroes in the faith that we should be following. And this morning, we will see a long list of this group of people. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read our 6 verses for today, but I want to warn you, I'm actually only going to be in these verses for just a few seconds while I read them. So we're going to be taken to different sections in Scripture. I will be reading all the verses that are here today, so if you don't have your Bibles in front of you, that's all right. But if you do, I encourage you to get it out. And here we are in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. The author writes, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. In verse 32, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. In these 6 verses, we actually have 9 named heroes of the faith, 9 different stories. I had a chance to study all of them, and I would encourage all of you to study all 9 in your time. There is great messages from each of these stories. But I really felt compelled by God to just focus in on 2 this morning, 2 that really drive home this idea of faith defeats fear. The 2 stories that I want to work through today are the people of Israel at the Red Sea, a familiar story, but some wonderful verses there in a time in a world of fear that we live in. And the second story I'm really excited to tell. It's the story of Barak and Deborah. Now, Barak is the named hero in the faith in chapter 11, but Deborah, as you will see, is critical in this story. In fact, for me, Deborah has now become my new hero in the faith. And my hope is that as we work through the story, she will also be an example for all of us, especially our young ladies. I feel like she is a great hero and a great model for you. In these 2 stories that we're going to look at today, there's a similar pattern. The pattern is this. The hero is weak and fearful. But God has chosen them specifically for his glory. And in both of these stories, there is someone who encourages our hero in their time of fear. Their faith then defeats the fear. God is victorious in the battle. And in the end, they give God the praise and the credit and the glory. So before we work through these 2 stories, let's invite the Lord in prayer to guide us this morning. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word this morning. Thank you for the time that you have given me to prepare. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit this morning would guide me, that your words would be spoken this morning, that all who are listening would have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand the truths that you want to present this morning. Father, I ask these things to be done to your glory and to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The first story, as I said, is the people of Israel at the Red Sea. The story can be found in Exodus chapter 14. So I would ask you to turn your Bibles there to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to work through this story. If you recall, the people of Israel at this time of the story had been held captive by the people of Egypt and by Pharaoh. They had been held in slavery and treated horribly. But God miraculously provided for them 10 plagues that would allow them to be released from Pharaoh and from Egypt. And at this time, they were being led by a man named Moses. Moses, in our story, is given a specific instruction by God of where to take the people. So God tells Moses, take the people and camp them out at the Red Sea. This instruction was basically setting up the people of Israel so that they would be trapped. They would have the Red Sea at their back, and this massive army of Pharaoh was coming after them with one purpose, to destroy them, to kill them all. And that is where we will pick up our story this morning in Exodus chapter 14. I'm looking at verse 10. That's where we are starting. Here's what God's word says. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. We're going to stop right there for a second because fear had gripped them. And this was a reasonable fear at this time. They were trapped, the Red Sea behind them and this massive army bearing down on them to destroy them. And that fear was okay. And if we watch what they did in their immediate response, we see that they got it right. As we continue in verse 10, it says, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Their first response in fear was the right one, seeking God's guidance and God's help in this time of difficulty. But where they got into trouble then is in the verses that follow. I'm not going to read verses 11 and 12. I want to summarize them for you because this is what happened to the people. They allowed fear to continue in their minds and in their hearts, and they began to talk crazy. I mean, they basically got to the point where they were forgetting who God was. They forgot that God had just rescued them from this horrible situation, and they started raising all these crazy ideas in a time of fear. And church, that's what fear does to us. I mean, fear makes us forget God. Fear makes us forget what God has done in our lives, and fear makes us forget that God is still in control. Now, if you're here this morning and the devil is affecting you with fear, we're going to address a couple of things for you in a minute. Because Moses gives them a response that I hope you're paying attention to. In verse 13 and 14, these are the key verses of this story that we're going to look at. Because in response to their fear, listen to what Moses says to them. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Church, I would encourage you to mark these verses in your Bible. These are great verses in response to fear. These are verses that we should apply to our own lives and be prepared to share with others. So in response then, Moses addresses them. God then gives instruction to Moses and to the people what to do. He tells Moses, take the people through the Red Sea as if on dry land. So Moses and the people, following in faith, walk through the Red Sea. It's opened. They walk through safely, and in faith, they make it to the other side successfully and safely. And God then just utterly destroys Pharaoh and his army as they chased after him in the water. And the people and Moses, when they got to the other side of the water safely, they gave God the praise and the credit and the glory. In chapter 15, they sing a song to the Lord that includes these beautiful words: "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." We had an opportunity the other night with our high school kids on Friday night, and a couple of junior high kids were there, and I had asked a question to them about what they are seeing in the world today. And Lillianne Hawkins raises her hand and boldly says this: "I see fear. I see fear." And Lillianne, I agree with you. I see it too. Right now, fear is in this world, and it's making people want to give up. At an alarming rate right now, we are seeing drug issues. We are seeing drug overdoses. We are seeing suicides. People, mostly of them, are young, giving up because they don't have hope or they are gripped with fear. If you are here this morning, or if you are watching online, and fear is an issue that the devil is attacking you with right now, I want you to listen to the three things that God is saying to you now. The first one is, be like the people of Israel in their first response. Cry out right now to the Lord and seek his help in this time of fear. And second, he will tell you, listen to the words of God through Moses this morning, for he says to you, fear not. Stand firm in the true hope that exists in Jesus Christ and see the salvation of the Lord. The third thing he would tell you is, if you are carrying fear, you need to walk with someone in the faith right now. You need to come to another brother and the sister in the faith and share with them what you're struggling with. We are called as the body of Christ to carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You got to be willing to share with someone this struggle that you're going through, because I will promise you something right now. If you are holding on to your fear, if you are holding on to your sadness or to your depression, the devil is smiling, because right now it is causing you to be that thing that our author didn't want you to be: lazy and sluggish. Now, if you're not here this morning and dealing with fear, the first thing I say to that is, amen. But I'm going to make you a promise. There are people around you right now who are struggling with it. And if you can't see it, you're not paying attention. It's everywhere. The news media, it's being brought. It's around us. And we have to be prepared, church, to be like Moses in their time of fear. Now, I was given this opportunity recently, a couple months back. I had an opportunity to meet a woman named Mo. Mo had come over from the West Side to visit with her daughter and her grandkids. And I had an opportunity to talk with her and listen to some of the things that were on her heart. And she had shared about her decision to come over to Yakima and to be with her family. It was a period of time in which the governor of this state had just come out in public and said these words: Yakima, Washington is the most dangerous city on the West Coast. I am sorry, but that is selling fear. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. She had talked to her friends that she lived near, saying, I'm going to go over and visit my grandkids over in Yakima. And all her friends were giving her grief, like, you can't do that. You're going to go over to Yakima, you're going to die. I mean, that's what they told her. And so as Mo was sharing this story with me, she said these words. She said, but I decided to come over here because I wanted to hug my grandkids one more time before they died. And church, in response to this fear, here's where I failed. Because I put my lawyer hat on, as I do from time to time, and I tried to give her reason and give her science, right? I tried to explain to her the data. I even used the governor's favorite word, metrics, I think. But let me tell you why this was a failure. These things don't conquer fear. Science and data and metrics, they don't conquer fear. Because there's only one thing that defeats fear. It is faith in the true hope that exists in Jesus Christ. And I failed to share that with her. But the lesson I want you to learn from it is we need to be more like Moses when we deal with people like this. So I know often people ask for applications when we're doing our thing up here. So let me give you your application now. Church, listen to me. We, as the body of Christ, are a vehicle of hope in this world right now. We are God's tool to be used to help defeat fear. But we have to be prepared to do it. We need to memorize verses like what we saw in verse 13 about how Moses responded. We need to be prepared to be used in this way. So let's talk about our second story. Give me a second. Do you know me? I talk a lot. I got to drink a lot. Our second story this morning, I had mentioned to you earlier, it was the story of Deborah and Barak. Barak is our named hero in the faith. But I got to be honest with you, church, I had to read this story three times before I saw why this guy was a hero in the faith. But I enjoyed and appreciated this story because I found a new hero in the faith, Deborah. You're going to see some cool things that Deborah does, and she is a great example for us to follow, especially my young ladies. I mean, here is a great hero in the faith for you to look up to. The story can be found just a couple of books past Exodus. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Judges, or you can write it down, I will be reading the key verses as well for this story. Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4, the study and the story of Deborah and Barak. At this time in history, the people of Israel had a pattern of life that they were living. God would provide for them a period of rest and a period of peace. And in response to this gift from God, the people of Israel would do what would be evil in the sight of the Lord. They would sin. Does that sound familiar? And in response to the people's sinfulness, God would allow for an enemy to come forward, to occupy the land, and to allow the people of Israel to be treated terribly. And then the people, after this had happened, would cry out to the Lord in repentance for their sin and would ask him to help in this period of struggle. And God, who is faithful, would then command and call forward a leader to step up on behalf of the people of Israel and destroy this army that had taken over. Now, in our study in Judges chapter 4, the enemy is the people of Canaan. And they are led by a military leader by the name of Sisera. And he had a powerful army, 900 chariots of iron. At that point in time in history, that was like a military superpower. And this enemy, Sisera and his group, had treated the people of Israel horribly and cruelly for 20 years. And the people then, in response, finally after that 20 years, cried out to the Lord, repented and called upon him to assist in this time. And God, who is faithful, called forward and commanded our hero Barak to step forward. So God essentially calls on Barak, the military leader of that time, and says essentially this, Barak, go get your army. Get them ready for battle. I'm going to draw out to you the enemy Sisera, and I am going to deliver into your hands the victory over this enemy. God had laid out the story for him, the battle plan. But Barak ignored God, and he ignored him because he was afraid. And so we have this situation where Barak has been called, but he is afraid. So what does God do? God rises up amongst the people a woman by the name of Deborah. He calls her forward, and Deborah then amongst the people is leading them and judging them and guiding them and giving them wisdom. And so Deborah is doing all these things, but there's a limitation on her power and her authority. She was not allowed to lead the army and the military in battle. And the reason why she was not was because God had specifically called Barak to this task. It was his job to do. So we have this situation. God has called forward Barak, the leader, to step up to do his job to lead the military. But he's afraid, and he's not doing it. So we have Deborah on the other side. She's called by God. She rises up. She's leading. She's guiding the people, but she is limited in that she cannot lead them into battle. And so what happens? Well, Deborah summoned Barak to appear before her, which basically means she sent out some people to go and find Barak in hiding and drag him out and bring him in front of her for one purpose. Her job was to encourage him in his time of fear. And that is where we will pick up the story this morning in Judges chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 6. Barak has now been summoned in front of Deborah, and here's what she says to him. Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, Barak? She knew he had been called to lead the army. She knew he was afraid. She knew she couldn't lead the army into battle, and so she calls him before her so that she may encourage him in his time of fear to step up and do the job that God had called him to do. She then continues in verses 6 and 7 to basically give him the exact quote that God had commanded him with. She tells him, go gather your men up on this mountain. And God says to Barak, I will draw out the enemy Sisera to you, and I will put him on the battlefield in front of you. And he says to Barak that I will deliver the enemy into your hands, Barak. So she reminds him of what God had commanded him to do. And let's look at our hero in verse 8. In response to this information, here are the words that Barak says to her. If you will go with me, I will go. But, Deborah, if you don't go with me, then I'm not going. Let me get this straight, church. This is our hero in the faith. This is our leader of the people of Israel. He's been told how the battle is going to go. He's been told that he would be victorious in battle and that God would guide him. And yet his response is, Deborah, will you go with me and hold my hand? And you know what? If you're not going to go with me and hold my hand, then I'm just not going to go. Come on. What kind of hero is this guy? So Deborah, in response to his fear, explains to him, yeah, Barak, you know what? I'll go with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll be right there in battle with you. But you got to understand this, Barak. The victory that you are going to get in this battle, you are going to get no glory. And in fact, it's even worse than that, Barak, because the glory is actually going to go to some other woman that we don't even know yet. I mean, ouch, at this point in time in history to tell him this story, this would have been a hard thing to hear. And yet, despite getting this information, Barak actually obeys God. He gathers his army up on the mountain like he had been told to do by God. He's set. And God, who is faithful, draws out Sisera onto the battlefield and sets him there. And we are just ready for this epic battle, right? This Infinity War, this Endgames for my Avengers fans, all Barak needs to do, go down to the battlefield and get the victory that God has called you to. Right? We're ready for this battle? No, we're not. And you know why? Guess who's afraid again? Barak. Well, what happens? Well, Deborah happens again. And that's why I love her. She continues to encourage him in his time of fear. Look at verse 14. I love this verse. Verse 14, in response to his fear this time, look at what she says. She says, up, exclamation point. That's a sentence. Get up, she says, "For this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" Church, this is another verse that I would encourage you to underline and to memorize and make a part of your life. This is a great motivational speech. And so what does Barak do after getting this motivational speech? Well, here's what Barak does. Finally, his faith defeats his fear. He comes down from the mountain. He comes down to the battlefield that God has promised him the victory, and God just utterly destroys this army. Wipes him out completely except for one guy, Sisera, the commander of the enemy. He runs away on foot like a coward. And he ends up at the tent of just a normal housewife, a tent maker named Jael. But I want you to watch and see what Jael does, because she is a bad mamma jamma, okay? Here's what she does. She says, "Yeah, Sisera, come on in, man. Come on into my tent. Here's something to drink. Here's a blanket. Feel nice and warm, nice and comfortable, nice and safe." So Sisera falls asleep. And so Jael, the tent maker, grabs a hammer and a tent peg, and she literally drills the tent peg into his head until he dies. I mean, who says the housewives aren't tough, right? I mean, just takes him out. He's done. So Deborah and Barak, at the conclusion of this, of ending the enemy, like Moses and the people of Israel before them, they sing a song of praise in Judges chapter 5. They sing out to the Lord, giving him the credit and the praise and the glory. Now, church, there are a lot of lessons to draw from this story. There are lessons from both Deborah and from Barak. I want to start first with Deborah. Like I said, she might be my new hero in the faith at this point, because she stepped forward when Barak wasn't doing his job. She stepped up. She was leading the people. She was guiding the people. But I want you to pay attention to the most important task that she had. The most important thing that she did was she encouraged the leader of the time in his time of fear. The thing that she was most importantly used for was encouraging him in his time of fear to do his job. I mean, imagine what would be going on with Israel had she not done this. He'd have been hiding in a cave again. But she stepped up and she did it. And I want you to pay attention to the way in which she encouraged him, okay? The first time that she met with him and encouraged him, all she did was ask him a question, all right? She didn't attack him. She didn't call him weak. She didn't call him fearful, although he probably deserved it. Instead, what she did was ask him a question. Has God not commanded you to do this? I mean, what a great way to get him going, right? She then encouraged him again a second time. And the second time that she did, she was a little bit stronger this time. You know, there was urgency to what needed to happen, and she knew it. And she was trying to get him up and get him going. And we saw this in verse 14. Again, she says, "Get up, Barak. Don't be sluggish because of your fear. God has given you this day. God is out before you. Now get out there and let God use you for his work." Church, you want application? Here's your application. We have a job to do. We have an obligation. We have a job to encourage those in the faith to do what God has called them to do. That in their times of fear, we have to encourage them and help them to get to work for the Lord. But we need to take advantage and see the way in which she did it. We need to be careful of how we do it. Now, in studying this story, I felt that God put something else on my heart, and this one is going to be directed specifically for our young women here. I know sometimes that our young ladies, especially in the high school group, have asked the question, why is it that only men can be elders or deacons in a church or other churches. Now, I want you to please see in this story how God answers that question. But I also, young ladies, want you to hear a very important lesson from me I'll give you in a second. See how in this story, Deborah was helping and guiding and lead the people, but she was limited in what she could do. She did not have the authority or the power to lead the army. And what was the reason why? Because God had specifically called Barak to this task. It was his job to do. And it is the same now in the Bible. It is identified specific tasks for men to handle. But here's the important lesson, ladies. Okay, so my young ladies, Anna Luisa, I see you over here. Gabby on the other side, my high school group over here, I see you all. Listen to the lesson now. You don't need a title to be a leader. You don't need a title to be a leader. I mean, look at Deborah. She stepped up. She was encouraging. She was doing the task that she had been called to do. And if you don't believe me, ladies, look around this church. For time would fail me to tell of the women and the awesome tasks that they do at this church. They don't worry about title. They just do the job that God had called them to do. You don't need a title to be a leader. Well, I also want to address lessons that we learned from Barak. It's easy for me this morning to make fun of him. But God has specifically placed him in chapter 11 and identified as a hero in the faith, and it's our job to see and understand why. Well, in studying the story, I found really three ways that Barak is a hero in the faith. The first is that in his weakness and in his fear, he was made strong in the Lord. I mean, look how many times fear gripped this guy. How many times did Deborah have to kick him in the butt before he did his job? Fear affected him. And he is a hero in the faith, church, because his faith finally defeated his fear. If you want an example somewhere in Scripture where there is a person who is weak or fearful and God uses them, I can't think of a better one than Barak after looking at this story. Now, for those of you who sit out there today and say, I am too weak, I am too fearful, and I am too broken for the Lord to use me, I think he's your example. I think you can see from him that if God can use him, they can use all of us. He can use all of us. The second way in which I saw that Barak was a hero in the faith is this. Barak was told that in this battle, he would receive no glory. And yet he obeyed God anyway. I don't think we can ignore this fact, church, because let's be honest. If someone came to me tomorrow and said, James, I want you to lead this battle with this ragtag army. I want you to take on this superpower that exists over here. You're going to be put in danger. Other people are going to be put in danger. And you're going to get no glory. Honestly, how would you respond? How would I respond? I might think to myself, sitting back on the couch watching football is a better plan. But Barak didn't do that. Despite knowing that he would get no glory, he obeyed God. His faith had defeated his fear, and God used him. And I think there is a lesson for us to learn here, church, because God has called us all to do something in his work, and we can't be worried about whether we're going to get any glory in it. Because God alone is the one who deserves the praise, right? God alone is the one who deserves the glory. And that's the third reason why I think Barak is a named hero in the faith, is because in the end, that is exactly what he and Deborah did. At the conclusion of the victory, Deborah and Barak praised God, and they gave him the credit, and they gave him the glory. Well, church, in these two stories, we have to learn and see that this is us. That our faith has to defeat our fear. to let God use us to encourage others in their time of fear. To let God use us as his vehicle for giving hope to this world right now. And for us individually, the ones who say, I can't do that, I want you to see that God can use you and use me in our weakness and our brokenness. As the song we sang said, we need to be a champion for God and giving him the victory. Well, before I close us out in prayer, I want you to hear once again the wonderful words of our hero, Deborah. Because this is what she says to you today, church. Has not God called you to do something? Her next phrase to you then would be, get up. This is the day that the Lord has given to you. The Lord goes out before you in this task. And now, church, it is our job to step up. O church, arise, as the song sings, right? O church, arise. Well, before we finish up here, let's thank the Lord for this word and for these heroes of faith and these examples that they have set for us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for these heroes in the faith that you have presented to us. Help us to see your message this morning that faith defeats fear. Help us to think, Lord, on now this call that Deborah has sent to us. Have you called us to do something, Lord? Yes, you have. And it's our job to see through your guidance what that is. I pray that you would touch the hearts and the minds of all who are here this morning to see how you have called them, Lord. That if there are people here who are in person or are listening online who are struggling with fear, hear the words of Moses. Fear not. See the salvation of the Lord and stand firm in the true hope in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us with these words, with this focus of encouragement, and help us, Lord, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.